scripture reading is found in Psalm 100, verse 5. Amen, when you're there.
Amen.
And it says, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." Amen.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
Let me see if this is working. Can you hear me okay? Hello? Happy Sabbath. Right, still playing with this. Hopefully, I get it right. Well, it's good to be here today, and when I say that, I really mean that. Okay, it's good to be here today. I don't know if this was gonna work for me, but we'll see. Maybe not. So just stay like this for now. Let's just stay like this for now. Well, today is our Friends Day.
Yes.
Did I say something wrong? Today is our Friends Day, right? Okay. I don't know how many of you remember that, but today was our Friends Day, and well, I don't know how many friends do we have here, but I know that we are friends in Christ here, right?
Amen.
More than friends, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Let me see. Do we have any guests? Any who was here for the first time or for the second time? There's anyone here for the first time in this church?
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Welcome. See? We have some friends. That's good. Welcome. Welcome. We're glad that you're here today. You know, I need to pick in somebody today. Brother Bill, where are you? Man, I need to say that God is good today.
Amen.
You're doing all right, brother. You know, you are representing the men of this church quite well. We need to say amen to that. You know, there's some people who say that men can't do it. But we see Brother Bill, that he's proving some people wrong there. Good job, brother. But definitely need to pray. We need to pray for Rachel to she can come home soon, right?
Amen.
Right? Well, I know how I felt when Michelle went away for the weekend. But you're doing great. You're doing great. We're definitely going to keep praying for you. And if you need help, you can call my wife. Hey, we got you, Bill. We got you. Let me ask something today. My topic, my subject for today is God is good. You know, well, we need to add something to it, right? God is good. And all the time. I mean, this is something that we use over and over again, but we really mean that. Do we really know in our mind that God is good? I mean, we need to be excited today. Today is our Friends Day. I need to say welcome to those who are here today and those who are watching this program online. And for those who are going to be watching this later on, maybe, I don't know. You never know when people get online and watch these services. So let's pray for them as they watch this service today. But God is good. All the time, he is good. I know we have a mic there, a wireless. I don't know, Philip, if you can help me. But I need to ask a couple people, a couple members. Let's see. Let me take 5 members. Tell me, why is God good to you? Why is God good? Anyone? Just right to the point. You're not preaching today. Just tell me, why is God good to you? Why is he so good to you? Short and sweet. Go ahead, James.
God's good to me because I got a good friend here that always takes care of me.
He takes care of you. All right. Great, great. Is anyone else? Okay, we have some other young in the back. Okay. Okay, in the front too. All right, go ahead.
God is good because he helped me get through my first year in high school, and now the second.
Amen. Amen. All right.
God is good to me because he woke me up this morning.
He woke you up this morning. Amen. Yes.
God is good because he gave me an amazing mom to take care of me and bless me with so much wisdom and knowledge.
Amen. Let me take some more, and maybe two or three more.
God is good because he knows my secrets, my innermost thoughts that aren't always good, and he still loves me.
Praise the name of God. Thank you. Good stuff. Yes, go ahead, sister.
God is good because without him, I would not be here.
That's right. That's right.
God is good because, like, I lost my train of thought. That's how good God is. Yeah, that's how good God is. Because he still gives me a home when I never had one. So because he provides for me.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
God is good because he doesn't give up on me.
Good. I like that one. Very good. Yes.
God is good because he gives me my health and strength. He has family to take care of me, make sure I have a roof over my head, food to eat, clothes on my back. So I thank God for many, many things,
amen,
man.
Amen, amen, good. I saw somebody in the back. It was, I don't know, Bill. Oh, of course, Bill, yes.
God is good because he's given me an incredibly supportive church family.
Amen, amen.
God is good because 8 years ago he gave me a beautiful wife.
Amen, yes.
God is good because he allowed Jesus to die on the cross for our sins.
Amen, amen.
And
amen.
A wonderful husband.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, there's one more in the back. Yes. Anissa, go ahead. Yes.
God is good because we never fight our battles alone.
Amen, amen. All right. Philip, can you bring that mic to me? I'm probably going to use that one to move around. I need to walk today a little bit, if you don't mind. That's okay? Okay. All right. You know, they asked this question, a survey. They were asking, why is God good? What would you say if they ask you if God is good? And these are some of the answers that they have here. Somebody says, he is everlasting, never ending, and always forgiving. Another person said, another person says, well, God is good because I am a nurse and I will be unemployed, because there will be a day when there will be no more sickness, no more pain, and I will be with him forever. Interesting. And there's somebody else here who said, God is good because even when we are unlovable, he loves us. Somebody else says, and somebody mentioned this today, he died in our place, and he does the best for us according to his will. Interesting. Let me just pray today, because today I want to talk to you about how good is our God. Father, thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you so much for your goodness. We ask for your presence in this place. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me tell you something, that the Bible, do not try to explain to us the goodness of God. That's not the Bible job. The Bible does not address the question if God is good. The Bible just provides a manifestation of the goodness of God. So if you go to the Bible to trying to see if God is good, if you have this question in your mind, well, I need to find the Bible if it's true, if God is good or not, that's not how the Bible approaches to this question. The Bible simply says that, you know, God is good. And when you read from Genesis to Revelation, we see story after another, one story after another, that God is good. We see the manifestation of God and how he's good to his people. We notice in Genesis that he's the creator, right? In Exodus, he is what? The protector. And when you keep reading on, you will always see that God is good. Now, the goodness of God is just one of the attributes of God. You know, Psalms 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So the Bible is not trying to explain to us if God is good or not. Actually, the Bible is trying to tell us that we need to come to the Bible. We need to read the Bible. We need to find out for ourselves. And then we're going to be able to understand that God is good. Listen to this. Taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. Now, God is good all the time. His goodness, he didn't ask somebody for it. He is the foundation of goodness. He is the source of goodness. He is the only one who can provide goodness to us. I mean, sometimes we can do something good. We can act for a moment that we are good people. We are good brother and good sister, good husband. But that good doesn't come from us. It's come from our God. So we need to understand that goodness is part of the God's character. He is good, yes, because he's a great provider. He is good because he is a personal God. He's personal. He listens to you. He talks to you. And we have this Bible. We have his words here. We have this letter from God that shows that he is good. I remember those days when we used to write letters. I remember those days when we used to do that. Write letters. We don't do that anymore. We just send a text now. Emails, you know. But those good old days when we used to send letters to a brother, sister, husband, wife, or girlfriends when we were dating. You remember those days when you used to send your notes? I mean, there are some people who really get creative when it comes to that. They put little hearts into the notes. You know, they do it with their own hands. I love you. I miss you. I'm thinking about you. You remember those days, right? And there's some other who put the perfume in the notes. Somebody's laughing. I know you went through that. You did that. They put perfume. And even though some of them, they found a flower. And they put a flower in the book. And they just keep that flower forever and ever and ever. They don't want to touch that book because that flower is meaningful. And every time they see the letters and they see the perfume and they see the flowers, they remember that somebody cared for them. When you think about that, the Bible is the letter of God. It's a letter of love. And he tells that he is good for us. So every time that you go to the Bible, you need to go with joy and happiness because this is the letter of God. And he tells us in that letter that he is cared for us, that he is good. God is good because he always has a plan for us. Yes, because sometimes we don't know what to do. Sometimes we get confused. We are about to lose our minds, but yet he still has a plan for us. A better future for us. In a better place. Full of love, peace, joy. He is so good. In fact, he's so good that he wants to take you there. Because he knows in the place that we live. He knows that a neighborhood is not secure enough. I mean, you can put security cameras, you can put fence around, you can build whatever you want, but there's always something. There's always something that you need to be aware. I mean, you always need to be careful with. There's always something. But there is a place that he wants to take you. And you don't need to worry about any of that stuff. How good is our God for us? We still have the mic? In there? Yes? Can somebody read for me, please? Romans 8:28. We need to remember that goodness comes from all circumstances. It doesn't matter where in the circumstances that you are. It doesn't matter how bad things are. There's always something good out of that. Romans 8:28. Let's read Romans 8:28.
And I'm reading from the King James Bible, and it says Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that who are the, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Amen. Amen. Everything works to the good for those who love him. Now, let's think about something else. His goodness leads to repentance.
Whoever reads next, Jesus.
Let's read 2 Peter 1, 3. 1 Peter, 2 Peter verse, chapter 1, verse 3. His goodness leads to repentance. Who would like to read that one? 2 Peter 1, 3. His goodness leads to repentance.
By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence.
And excellence. There's another version who said goodness. Wow. So when we have this knowledge of God, that knowledge will lead us to repentance. Will you say amen?
Amen.
Psalms also 34:8 says that, come taste and see the Lord. But also, God is so good that he's a shelter for us. When you read the last part of that text, it says, blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. He's our refuge. He's our shelter in the times of need. So definitely, our God is good. But today, we can find different story to trying to explain the goodness of God. I can find many of them in the Bible. But today I want just to share with you something that I find really interesting. And this is one of the aspects that I really love about God. And I can see his goodness. One of the things that I like about him, I mean, I like everything about God, of course. But one of the aspects that is very special for us is the fact that God always keeps his promises. And we can see God's goodness on that. So today, allow me to talk to you a little bit about the goodness of God through one promise in the Bible. 1 John 1, 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. From that, I would like to share with you why I think that God is so good to us. Today we need to remember that God's promises, because this is a promise, are divine. The promises of God are what? Divine. And declare the willingness of God to us. Declare his goodness. God reveals to his promises how good he is to us. And how much he cares for every one of us. Some of you know this, that we can find over 3,000 promises in the Bible. Amazing. And every one of them is a powerful statement on how much God loves each and one of us. Today I want to look at one of these conditional promises. I mentioned a couple of months ago, while I was preaching here, that we have two types of promises. One is conditional promises, and there's another one is unconditional promises. Unconditional and conditional promises. One of those unconditional promises, it means that will never change. It doesn't matter what you do, what you think, it will never change. It will still a promise. It's unconditional. Like Jesus is coming back. He promised that he will come back. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not, he will come back. It don't matter if you're ready or not, he will come back. He promised that. And he will keep his promise. He's coming back. He's coming back. That's unconditional. Now, in John chapter 1, verse 9, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, we find these conditional promises. It's a conditional. Let's read this very interesting promise of God. And says, if we confess our sins, he is what? You need to say it like you mean it. If you confess our sin, he is faithful and what? and just. And he will do what? He will forgive our sins. And what? What else? Cleanse us. Purifies us. From all what? Unrighteousness. This is a promise. Do you believe that? Do you believe that this is a promise? It is. It is a promise. It's a conditional promise though. It requires something. We need to do something. We need to do our part in order for God to do his part. You see how it works? It's a conditional. Now, the condition that God asked for us, there's a condition that he asked for us. If we want our sins to be forgiven, we need to do what? Confess. Confess our sin. I know, I don't know about you, but when you read this, when I read this, I found joy in this. I found hope. There is hope in this verse. There is hope for me. There is hope for everyone. I can see that God is really good to me and to everyone. There is hope and joy in this chapter, in this verse. I can see with a crystal clear the mercy and goodness of God towards me. I can see his kindness, his willingness to save me, no matter what I had done. The formula actually is quite simple. If you confess, he will do what? Forgives. Now, confess. What is the meaning of that? When you confess, what do we do? Somebody would like to share? When you confess, what is the meaning of confess? You said that you run. Okay, what else? Okay, you recognize that, you know, we are not perfect, but that we are not ready, that we are, there's just so much going on with us, and we recognize that. There's someone else? Yes, go ahead, James. Okay. Confess. Declare. It means to declare. To admit. Confess. You're admitting that you did something wrong. You're admitting your guilt. You know, I recognize that I was wrong. I need to confess. I know that I was charged with that. I understand that. I get that. I know I was wrong. And I will confess. I did it. It was me. What was the last time when you confessed when you did something wrong? Now, here's the thing. We confess to our God when we do something wrong. When we ask for forgiveness. But what about our friends, our family, in church, at home? Can we share that with them too? Are we confess? Are we admit? Are we willing? Are we humble enough to understand that when we did something wrong and we say, you know what, family, I was wrong. I admit I was wrong. I was wrong. That's what confess means. It means that you are humble enough to understand that you did something wrong and now you are ready and to let God know, you know what, Father, I'm too weak. There's just too much. I can't do it. I need you to understand that this something that I'm going through right now is my fault. This is my fault. So you need to confess. But the part that I love about this text is this one. The part which says, God forgive. If you confess, if you admit your fault, your shortcomings, he is faithful and just and will forgive us. What is the meaning of forgives? Forgive. What it means? What it means? What it means to forgive? And what are we asking God to forgive us for? For what? For our sins, right? Because we are sinners. That's what we are. That's what we do. That's why every day we need to ask God for what? For forgiveness. We need to confess every day that we did something wrong. And we need to come to God just the way we are. Let me just say something else. Just give me a minute. Maybe less than that. All right? This is us, right? This is working? Okay, good. One, two. One, two. Hello? Hello? Yes, it's on. I guess battery went out. Okay. So this is us, right? We are with our sins. We are carrying our sins. Everywhere we go, we are with our sins behind our back, right? That's what happened to us. Okay.
Is this one working? Okay. Good. Thank you. All right. Yeah, you can take this one. So forgiveness, and this is something that Jesus does to us. When he said, "I forgive you sin," the Bible says that the meaning of that word, it means that he's gonna send away our sins. In other words, he's going to make them expire. There's another word, there's a meaning to that. It's to let go. When Jesus says, "I forgive you," he said, "I will let it go." There's another meaning, to let alone, to let it be, to disregard, to leave, not to discuss now, to let it go, to give up, to keep no longer, to give up. And this is us, right? We are walking, we come to church, we are sins, we are back of sins. It's kind of heavy, sometimes we are, it's difficult for us to walk, right? Because it's too much. Sin is just too much for us. But we are walking to church with our back full of sins. And if you're not in church, you probably don't have a relationship with God yet, so it's probably even worse. So we have to deal with this every day in our life, right? We have to deal with our sins. And if you don't confess your sin, guess what? The weight is going to get worse. There will be more sin, more struggles, more need for us to ask God for forgiveness. So the bag is just getting too heavy now. I can barely walk. It's just too much. So instead of me asking God for forgiveness, I start looking to some other people's stuff and some other people's bag and see what they have there. So it's just getting worse now. Because instead of me looking at myself, now I'm looking to some other people. And it's even getting worse and worse. But this is what God does. This is what Jesus does. Okay? I forgive you. You confess your sin. I forgive you. It's time for me to take up your sins. Let me handle it. I will take care of it. But sometimes we fight. And we don't want to let our sins go. And Jesus says, just let it go, brother. Let it go, sister. Let your sins go. Let me take care of that bag for you. So that's what forgiveness means. So Jesus take away our bag. And the description of that word forgiveness means that Jesus is carrying your sins, right? But he's going to let it go. It means that he's going to let it behind. And he's going to keep walking with you. Now, you're free. You're free. Your sins are behind you. Your friends are no longer with you. Jesus doesn't keep your sins anymore. Listen what the Bible says, that if you confess, he is faithful and just, and he will do what? He forgive. He will let your sins away. He will let it go. He will not keep any longer. It's interesting. It's interesting because there are some members in churches and in friends in our family, and there's some people that always try to remember what you did wrong. Last summer. I remember exactly the day. It was December 29, 1979, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I saw you there. I saw you there. How the way you talked to your mother. Almost 25 years ago, people still remember what you did. With all the details. And there's some other stuff that you probably won't remember that you did that. And they bring all their stuff to you. Yes, brother, you were there. I don't just say it because I remember I have the notes. I have the notes. You were there, 1979, 2 o'clock. You were wearing a black suit with a white t-shirt. You don't have tie. No, you don't have tie. I remember seeing. So we keep these records of other people's stuff. What Jesus do it completely different. He said, if you confess, I will no longer keep that record with me. I don't need to worry about that. I will let that thing go. The Bible says that if you confess our sins, he will take care of our sins. He will cast our sins, and he's gonna send it to the depths of the ocean. Have you remember that? Micah 7:9. He said that he will send our sins to the ocean. And yet, you think there, your sins are, you know, forgiven. There's no memory of that. But there are some people who act like they are a scuba diver. They want to go the deep of the water and find out what you did wrong. And this time, just go into the ocean to find out what was wrong with you back in those days. They're searching for sins. They're searching for things that you did in the past. But Jesus says, you know what? If you confess your sin, I will let everything behind. I will not keep your past with me. I will not keep your sins, your bad decisions with me. You are forgiven. You are free now. Now, let me ask you something. If Jesus is willing to let go our sins, if Jesus is willing to let go our past, our mistake, why sometimes it's so hard for us to do that with some other peoples? Why is it so hard for us to just to let go what they did wrong? Why is it so hard for us sometimes to even forgive ourselves? And we keep carrying our own bag when God says, you know, you are forgiven. You are free. You are a new creature. Everything is new. You can start brand new because now I give you life. You don't need to carry anymore this bag with you. Let me tell you something. Just because God forgive you does not mean that he will not remember what you have done. Are you getting this? Just because he forgive you, that doesn't mean that he will not remember what you have done. But God chooses not to bring back your sins. And he acts and treats you like you had done nothing wrong. The only one who's able to do that is our God. Because sometimes it doesn't matter how hard we try to let some of the stuff go, we always come to our mind. It's always come to us. I just can't let it go. I remember how we did that. It's just so hard to let it go. That's why Jesus is mighty to save. Because he is the only one who is able to treat you and look at you as you have done anything wrong. I mean, he knows your past. He knows everything about you. He knows every sin, everything. But he talks to you every day like you have done anything wrong. He still cares for you. He still provides for you. He is mighty to save, brothers and sisters. That's why he is the only one who is able to save. Can you see the goodness of God in this promise? Can you see how good is God to our life? If God won't hold your past against you, don't hold the past of any of your brothers or sisters against them. You need to let it go. You need to let it go if you want to be free. You need to let it go and just let God to take care of that sins and all the situations and problems that you have. You need to let it go, brothers and sisters. You need to let go and let God to be in charge of everything in your life. Let your sins go. You are free. Let your past go today. You are free. Let your bad decisions go. You are free today. You are forgiven. It is a promise of God that if you confess your sin, you will be free. I don't know about you today, but I feel I need to let some of the stuff go in my life. I want to be free. So you need to let it go. And I'm not talking about Frozen, the Disney movie. But there are certain stuff that we need to let go. There are some problems in our lives that we need to let go. You need to let go your weakness, your setbacks, your regrets, your mistakes. You need to let all the stuff go. All those people that always talk bad about you, you need to let them go. Because if you're not helping me to reach my goal, if you're not helping me to go where I need to be, then you need to be out of my way. Because I'm going somewhere. You know what I'm talking about? You always try to find people that are not good for you. You need to let them go. You're not ready for them yet, and they're not ready for you just yet. You need to let them go. You need to say to them, you know what? I'll be praying for you, but right now, I just can't be around you. I'm sorry, but I need to pray for you. You need to let them go. There's people who are always trying to get you in trouble, in difficult situations, to do bad decisions. You need to let them go. And remember that Jesus got you back. He is your best friend. He is so good that he's always going to take care of us. Today we need to remember that our God is faithful to his promises. He always going to keep his promises. You need to remember today that he loves you. He loves you in a special way. Every single day, he shows his kindness and goodness to us. The reason why God is so good to us, and the reason why God always fulfills his promises, is because God gave us his word. And the word of God is pure. The word of God is a word of honor. So when God says something in the Bible, God is putting his honor on the line. God is putting his integrity on the line. Can you get in this? When God says something to you in the Bible, he says that he will keep that promise. He's basically putting everything on the line. He's putting his own reputation on the line because he's always going to keep his promises. God is not a man. He will never fail. He will keep his promises. The word probably changed. And people always use all kinds of excuses or all kinds of promises to get whatever they want. But our God will never change. The importance of God's integrity will never, never change. And when you read the Bible, you will see that God and his word is a God of honor. He will keep his promises. The goodness of God, brothers and sisters, are the main foundation of a Christian faith. And it is because of his desire that he provides salvation for us. God promised that he will come back. He will come back for us. Are you happy to know that? Are you happy to know that he's always going to keep his promises? And just that his promise that he's going to forgive our sins, he also has promised that he will come back for us. Are you happy to know that today? Amen. That he's coming back for us. There will be a day that we're going to finally see him face to face. There will be a day that we're finally going to be able to say, you know what? I don't know what you're going to say. I don't know what is in your mind. Because we plan ahead, right? Sometimes we plan ahead. Oh, when we get there, you have already, you know, you outline of the stuff that you're going to say. But probably you're going to be so excited and so happy that the only thing that you're going to say is, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you because you love me. Thank you, Father, because you came back as you promised. Today is a good day to understand that God is good to us, that He is good all the time, and that He always keeps His promises. I want to ask today, is anyone here today that would like to start a new relationship with God? Is anybody here today that needs to understand more about Jesus in your life? There's anybody here today that need to learn more about Him, about His goodness, His mercy? If that's your case, if you are just unable to understand what is God to you in your life, you need to come forward, because I want to pray for you. Just if this is something that you are struggling with, just if you want to get closer to Him, just if you want to give all your sins and all and everything is going on in your life, if you just want to give up everything to Him, I want to pray for you. Because it is time for us to see God face to face. It is time for us to understand that we are free today. You cannot wait until tomorrow. Today is your day to understand the goodness of God. Is anyone here today that who would like to stand with me and have this prayer? Is anyone here who would like to say, you know what, Father, I want to go forward. I want to let my past go. I want to leave everything behind, and I just want to look at Jesus. Is anyone here? Brother James. Okay. Is anyone else who would like to stand? I'm talking about some people who have, I don't want to say struggles or issues, because we all do. But if you want to make that step, if you want to develop a better and deep relationship with God, then this appeal is for you. Because I know I need it. Because I know I'm not perfect. Because I know I have my struggles. As a pastor, as a husband, as a son, I have my struggles. I'm not immune. And that's why I need Jesus in my life. That's why I need to see His goodness every day. Because I can't do it by myself. I need to have Him on my side. Can we pray now? Father, we thank you so much. Because in our worst of our situations, when everything is just going wrong around us, you, Father, keep providing for us. You keep your blessings and your goodness to us. Father, we thank you so much, because your mercy is everlasting and your love never ends. Father, we need your help. We need your protection. We need your guidance. We need your knowledge. We need to love each other the same way that you love us, Father. But there's just a lot of stuff going on in our minds, in our lives, in our hearts. Sometimes we are unable to do that, Father. And today we just want to leave everything behind. Today we just want to let everything go. Today we just want to go into your arms, oh Father, and be secure and be loved. Please take care of your children, Father. Once again, show your goodness to us.
even though we don't deserve it. We thank you so much for that. Here we are, Father, your sons, your daughters. We are struggles, we are needs. Take care of them, Lord. We know that we cannot do ourselves. So help us, oh Father. Help us, oh Lord. Because our help comes from you. Take care of us, Father. We cannot say anything else because there's a lot of times that we mention things that we want to change, that we want to do things different, and then we just keep doing the wrong thing over again, Father. But today we just want to ask you, Father, for your mercy for us. Keep watching over your children, Father. Keep watching over ours. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the brothers and sisters that we had here, Father. And we thank you so much because one day we're going to see you, Father, face to face. Help us to be ready. Help us to be ready, oh Lord, because we want to see you. We really want to be with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.